that makes me know that we had the right idea in the beginning, and we just need to maintain our focus and elevate. We update our formulas. We have certain formulas, but we update them with the times and everything, you know, and so.
Hello, my basketball friends, and welcome to the Teardrop Runners, the weekly internet basketball podcast / gathering where four old friends get together and talk about the world of NBA analytics. There are two old friends tonight. I'm your host / walnut / pod mamba, Scott in Baltimore. And with us tonight is
Chris Brownie Brown in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
What's up, Breezy? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Weather's nice. Down in the basement.
Yeah. It's like
things are going well.
I keep telling people in Baltimore, it's like summertime in Seattle here right now. It's like in the mid 70s and nice, beautiful and breezy. It's a wonderful time to be outside.
Yeah, the weather's so good. I just hope it stays like this for the next 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, well, I'm sure our listeners are fascinated by the Maryland weather. That is always something you can count on. We do the Maryland recap weather and scores at the top of every hour. We're going to get to those Terp scores and, of course, all of our lacrosse scores at the bottom of the hour. But until then, we are missing a couple of our regular contributors. Rob Schoberg is in a foreign country that we are not allowed to disclose. And Manziel Breezy is, I believe, probably out hustling t-shirts in front of Brooklyn's finest stadium. They don't have a game tonight, though, do they? He's probably still out there selling t-shirts.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I did actually watch a lacrosse game on TV yesterday, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but Major League Lacrosse season has started up.
Oh, finally.
As of a week ago. Yeah, finally.
When did and goalies just, and lax bros report to spring training?
I have no idea. The broadcast was notable for two reasons. The first is that one of the guys talked about how excited he was to get an MBA, which I thought was interesting. So basically, they have few job prospects as professional athletes, and so they have to rely on, you know, everything that everybody else, all the normal people have to do to get money. The other part, the part of the interview that was amusing is they asked him what his favorite drink was, and he basically specified an alcoholic beverage in detail.
Which one?
On the
what
air,
was
and
it?
I was like,
what was it?
It was something with rum and juice, and like it was. I don't even know. It wasn't a drink that I recognized.
You're missing you didn't. Okay, all right. Go ahead. I want to know what the drink was now, but go ahead.
I should have remembered the drink. I was basically so surprised by the fact that a professional TV announcer asked a question regarding what a favorite drink was of an athlete, and then the athlete answered on the air. It just seems like a really – I was just like, what the hell are they doing?
What network was this on? Was this on local?
This is probably on – it's one of the local channels down here in the Gaithersburg area. It might have been the Al Jazeera channel. I don't know.
Al Jazeera has been notorious in its support of lacrosse. Well, look, folks, you got what you came for. We got the weather talk. We got the lacrosse talk. It's everything you want in a basketball podcast. So, Chris, why don't we just get right into it? We're going to kind of go through a review of the playoffs as they stand right now. Chris, how much of the playoffs have you been able to see?
I watched some of the playoff games at your house last weekend. And then also, I think I saw a game in part on Sunday, though I don't remember what game it was. It might have been the Knicks game. Did they play on Sunday? I think they did for a little bit.
Yeah, I think they did too. That was the OT game against Boston.
So I watched like the second and third quarters of that game.
Oh, okay.
So how was it? Boston looked atrocious. Boston looks terrible, and actually the Knicks didn't look that great either. So basically, Knicks need J.R. Smith back ASAP.
Right. Well, he's back, and tonight the Boston Celtics look to be winning this game. They are up by 7 with 40 seconds to go. So it looks like Boston is forcing at least a game 6. Chris, let me ask you this question. I've been doing a lot of research on this series, and I can't find the answer anywhere. Have any Boston teams in any sport ever come back from a 3-0 deficit against any New York teams? I just can't find the answer.
Yeah, the Red Sox did
Oh,
a couple years
God.
back.
Someone should bring that up. Someone should definitely. I hope someone alerts the sports media to that fact because that needs to be brought up.
I don't know if it's possible, to be honest with you, though. I mean, this is not a I feel like this particular version of the Boston Celtics team is not good. Like, these guys are they're missing some pieces. Like, they makes me wonder, how they finagled themselves into the playoffs a little bit. I guess they had Rondo, right, for most of the season, or at least half the season. But
Right.
this is, Garnett is doing, doing strong work on defense. He's rebounding the ball. Pierce is like playing all right on offense, and like everybody else is kind of. And actually, what's his face? Your boy from Georgetown is playing pretty good too.
Jeffrey Green.
Yeah, Jeff Green's playing great, but the rest of the team
Sometimes.
is just like randomly, they're just random. They're a bunch of random guys. Like, sometimes they do okay, mostly they don't. It doesn't look like, I don't know. It honestly, it doesn't look like a team that would make the playoffs. When I watch them in the playoffs, I'm like, how did they do it?
They've now beat the Knicks 2 in a row, and looks like tonight was pretty convincing. I don't know what happened in either one of those games because I tuned out of the series after the first 3 games. I thought Jeff Green was mostly terrible in those games. Their offense was anemic. Their defense wasn't good enough to stop Carmelo. It didn't even seem like they were really trying to stop Carmelo. But do you think that Boston has a shot at winning 2 more?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think that J.R. Smith, I mean, one thing I noticed, I mean, one thing that basically was apparent from watching the Knicks game is that they really, really need J.R. Smith and his, shot creating ability on the court. He is the second best scorer on that team, after Carmelo. I feel like, they're throwing everything they have at Carmelo. They're making him work for his buckets, and like he's a hell of a scorer. And actually, he's doing great in the playoffs so far, but by himself, I'm not sure that he's enough to really to make that Knicks team a great team. So they need J.R. Smith basically to basically help out as an offensive creator. And of
Right,
course,
right.
he was out the game that not this tonight's game, but the game that happened on Sunday that Boston won. He was suspended for that game. That's why, that's I think why Boston won it in large
Well,
part.
I don't know why Boston won it tonight. I was not watching, but I'm watching the fallout now. So, looks like they're heading to Boston for Game 6. That should be fun. Meanwhile, Miami swept Milwaukee out of the playoffs to no one except Brandon Jennings' surprise. Chris, did you catch any of this series?
I didn't know. I mean,
Okay.
it's
Well, you missed out. It was not a close series, but there were a lot of fun moments. Larry Sanders trying to play defense on LeBron and Wade and Bosh all was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's fun to watch Miami start to step up their pressure defense. I really like watching them trap the ball. So it's always entertaining for me to watch the Heat, especially when they're out there, really laying on the line on defense. And
So did you see, like, the thing I'd be curious about watching them play is, did you see any signs of weakness from Miami? Like, does anyone in the East have a chance against them?
no, no one in. I don't
Okay.
think anyone in the league has a chance against them. I think this is the year. Well, I'd say the teams that have, well, we can get to this in a little bit, but I'd say the only teams I'd be worried about against them would be San Antonio and Memphis.
Yeah.
But we can get to that. The next Eastern series is Indiana and Atlanta. As of tonight, it's tied 2-2 after Indiana took a 2-0 lead. I confess to having watched only about 4 minutes of this, and I have no interest in it. Even though I like Indiana in general, and I feel confident about my decision after they put up 69 points last night, or last Saturday night, excuse me.
Yeah. That's a skippable score.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched that series either.
All right. Well, right now, third game, in a little ways into the third quarter, they're up 13 on Atlanta, so it looks like they're going to be taking a 3-2 lead tonight. But we'll see. Meanwhile, Chicago and Brooklyn. Chris, we watched most of this Chicago-Brooklyn game this past Sunday until it appeared to be over. Brooklyn was up 14 points with just a few minutes left in the game. I begged you to stay. Was this Saturday? I begged you to stay.
This was, yeah.
There were games yet to come. I conceded that that game was over, but there were games yet to come. I texted my father-in-law that they needed Nate to step up. And lo and behold, Nate stepped up big time. He almost broke Jordan's record for most points scored in the fourth quarter in the playoffs. Steve Kerr said at one point that they were going to have to put a statue of Nate outside next to Michael after this game. It was really one of the most amazing performances. Probably Rainier Beach's finest moment, I would say, outside of you getting your doctorate.
Yeah, you know, Nate is he's fearless. I mean, that's the one thing about him is that he can just do some amazing things and he can kind of just flip a switch, and he's just a unique athlete, and we may question his decision making at times, but I feel like if you're down a bunch of points and you don't have a lot of time left on the clock, Nate is the kind of guy. Yeah, put him in, give him the ball. He's going to do something, you know.
He's the remix.
Maybe it'll help you win. Maybe it'll help you lose. But he's a hell of a player, no doubt.
Agreed. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm certainly pulling for Chicago, if only so that we can subject ourselves to a week of scrutiny over why Derrick Rose isn't playing when the rest of his team is hurt and playing the best team in the league.
So I do have a question for you about Nate, though. Like, I see Nate basically doing this kind of thing, and I just, like, it's one of my favorite it's kind of one of my favorite types of sports moments, basically a guy going against the odds and doing something unbelievable. Did the crowd pick up on that at all? I mean, was that something that...
Oh, yeah. Place was going nuts.
It was going crazy.
That game was in Chicago. The place was going nuts.
So, I mean, do guys in Chicago, like, does Nate get credit for this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, like anything else, right, if you were used to Derrick Rose and now you have Nate, there are going to be a lot of nights where you're cursing Nate's name. But they do understand it, and they do understand that he won them that game. No one's trying to take that away from him.
Do you think that this will kind of engender a – you know, he was a guy that earlier on in the season – people thought he might get released from his contract, and that would be the end of his NBA career.
Yeah, I mean, he never saw the floor in Oklahoma City. How much can Oklahoma City use him right now? You know, don't you think Scotty Brooks wishes he had? He probably doesn't. Maybe he doesn't wish he had him, but couldn't Oklahoma City use him right now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy. I mean, they're desperate for a guy like him right now, I think. Yep. I mean, he's a guy that has, actually, if you look at the teams in the playoffs, I'd say more than half the teams in the playoffs right now could use Nate.
Yeah.
Basically, he's a guy that can come in and create his own shot. He's got, you know, a strong scoring punch, basically, either as a starter or off the bench.
Right.
Like, he's a guy, like, the Knicks would kill to have him right now.
Yeah.
Because, with J.R. Smith being – I mean, I guess J.R. Smith's back. But
the only team that really couldn't use him probably is the Clippers and maybe the Spurs. But one team that could use him is Memphis. Although, switching over conferences here LA Clippers series, another proud product of University of Washington, Quincy Pondexter, really stepping up big time the last couple games on both sides of the ball, playing tough minutes down the stretch. But, the story with Memphis is Marcus Gasol and Zach Randolph stepping up, and especially Zach Randolph recovering his form. And after going down 2-0, they've won 3 in a row. Chris, have you seen any of this series?
I haven't, no.
Oh, man. You are missing out. We gotta schedule some kind of date.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing series, really chippy. They've faded. I think the Clippers have faded down the stretch here. Chris Paul just can't carry the team. Blake Griffin's sitting a lot during important minutes, and there's just a
Is
lot of
it
frustration.
foul trouble or
I don't think it's foul trouble.
what's
I think it's defensive trust issues. I mean, Blake gets exposed. Blake and DeAndre get exposed against Zach and Mark. Like that's a pretty tough matchup for any two centers, any two big men, any front line. I mean, that's a very
Yeah.
tough matchup because you have a really gifted player offensively in Zach Randolph, who nevertheless doesn't leave his feet and plays under the basket. You feel like you should be able to stop him, but you can't. And
Yeah.
then you got this giant 7-footer who just controls all the shots in the paint on defense and Marc Gasol, and can also run the offense. So it's a very tough team to game plan. And right now, actually, after watching them come back against the Clippers, they'd be my slight favorites over the Spurs to come out of the West right now.
Are you serious?
Yep. I mean,
Whoa.
they're playing that well. Quincy's playing at the top of his game, in my opinion. He's hitting three pointers at a better rate. That might not be backed up by the numbers, but go ahead and look it up, listeners. Mike Conley and Tony Allen are playing amazing defense between their perimeter D and Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph on the interior. The team is
So
just really hard to score against.
I always felt that teams that play the Clippers, if they're able to kind of keep the Clippers in a real like deliberate, slow paced, half court style game, that would be to the Clippers' disadvantage. I feel like Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan are much better like in a kind of open court situation. Do you know if that are you seeing that at all in the series so far, or is it? I mean, is it? What's the tempo looking like from?
I would say that in general, Memphis has kept the mistakes low enough that there's been not a lot of running and gunning. On the other hand, I mean, I don't Chris Paul wants to run to a certain extent, but he doesn't want to be the one doing the running on a regular basis, so.
Yeah, just curious. I mean, it's funny. Like DeAndre Jordan at times looks dominant, and at other times he looks lost. And so he's one of
Right.
those kind of mystery players in the NBA where in certain situations, like if he's in the right situation, he's so good. But if he's not in the right one, like he just doesn't factor much. But anyway, so I've always, I'm surprised actually the Clips. I kind of thought. I thought the Clips would take this one. Honestly, this was like I kind of thought this was their year. I was like, these guys, they got the manpower, they got the guards, they can shoot from outside a bit. They got Blake and DeAndre inside. Like they should. This is probably the year that I expected them to go deep into the
Right.
playoffs. It's a little bit, I'd say disappointing to not see them, handling Memphis better.
Well, to me, it looks like Chris Paul's wearing down a little bit, and that's a big problem. He really is the kind of the brains behind that team, and I'm not sure. I think they even as valuable as Bledsoe is, I think it's got to be difficult to adjust between Paul and Bledsoe as your point guards. It's like going from Kerry Wood, Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I could be wrong though. All right, looking back through the rest of the West here, obviously the Spurs swept the Lakers. There's really nothing much of interest to say about that. The Lakers season was a disaster.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. San Antonio looks good. They're going to play the winner of, I believe they'll play, yeah, they'll play the winner of the Golden State Denver series, which
Yep.
is certainly far from settled. And I think that's set to start on Monday night. So we'll see what happens. The Golden State Denver series has been thrilling. The most recent development is Mark Jackson getting inside information that Denver was trying to hurt Steph Curry. I've watched the highlights a few times. I haven't seen anything that is even remotely indicative of anyone trying to injure Steph Curry's ankles. They were definitely being physical with him. They were giving him what we call the business.
Yeah.
but nothing even remotely dirty. And for Mark Jackson, who's been on some of the dirtiest teams that have ever played basketball, to come out and say that garbage is very smart because it's obviously going to manipulate the refs. But it's also total horseshit, in my opinion.
I tend to agree with you, but I also agree with you. I think you're making a really good point that Mark Jackson, this guy's cagey. This guy's a born coach. Like
Yeah, he is.
he's pulling all the levers.
Yeah.
You know, he's got this young team in the playoffs, like trying to upset a favorite team, and it's psychological warfare he's
Right.
deploying right now. And I expect this guy's really impressing me. This is his second year, right? Second year coach.
Right.
You know, that's a veteran move right there.
Yeah. No,
You know,
this is his first year, isn't it? Is this his first year?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway,
It
go
might be
ahead.
his first. But yeah, I mean I saw some of this game with you. I expected Denver to kind of steamroll him, honestly. The fact that they
Me
haven't done
too, me
that yet,
too.
I mean, it's a little bit surprising. Obviously, Steph Curry is balling really hard right now. Like he is at another level, in terms of making jump shots. Like he's a special basketball player from
And
that perspective.
the other thing that's pretty amazing is really his passing, in my opinion, has taken a leap forward in the playoffs. And he's has some pretty amazing moves where they basically kind of have a give and go with Steph, where he'll kind of pretend to be creating a shot for himself, will make a real fancy pass to another player, draw attention away from him, and then immediately goes back to Steph and he jacks it up. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's got a bag of tricks. I mean,
Yeah.
he's
He's
you know
got a
what's in
bag of tricks.
thing that's kind of interesting about him is he's got that kind of ambidextrous like passing technique
Yep.
that really is still pretty rare in the NBA. To my recollection, the only guy that deployed that consistently was Nash. I'm just wondering, is he just a really smart player that just drills like crazy? Or is this something that basically is a something that's just like a talent that he has that other folks don't have?
I think he's a freak athlete in terms of high hand-eye coordination
Okay.
and ball control. So I think he has that, like he really is a 99th percentile athlete when it comes to controlling the basketball. You know, just
Okay.
he's got a great handle. But I do think he's obviously worked a lot on his handle and his passing. You know, a lot of people doubted his ability to run the point. I think there's a lot of people that would argue that he would be your, number one pick if you were picking point guards to start a team with, because he's that good. So I don't know.
So
He's working hard.
you're say natural talent versus, I mean, it's obviously a talent and work ethic combination, but in your view, it's a natural talent in terms of, his skill at passing and his ability to be ambidextrous almost,
Yeah, I think I
handling the
do think
ball.
he has a freakish level of coordination, hand-eye coordination. I'm not saying it's all, obviously he works incredibly hard at it.
Yeah.
But there's obviously an X factor there that allows someone, who honestly, even when he was dominating in college, there was a question, well, will he make it as a two guard in the league? That was what
Yeah.
people were asking,
I
not
didn't think
like
you would, man.
Yeah, a
He's too
lot of people didn't
I
think
was
he
like
would.
he is too small,
Yep. And he has that he's he has a kind of innocent baby face look to him. But he's turned out to be very strong, and really capable of creating space for himself, and just he doesn't need very much. He doesn't need very much time. He's unbelievable.
The other thing that stood out just quickly before I move on is that Bogut really is playing well. I think they needed kind of the effort that they're getting from him in this round, just to kind of hold down the fort in the front court. And he looks like a guy that played the majority of the season rather than sitting out the majority of the season. And
Yeah.
so I'm just
Although he
I
looks
think.
exhausted too. I mean, I think the number of minutes are taking a toll on him. If they do advance, I wonder how much he can continue to carry the team. but he has been pretty amazing in the series. But I, you know, part of that is the fact that there were some pretty odd decisions by George Karl early in the series to match Bogut up against guys like Kenneth Faried, and to really make it easy on Bogut on defense. So I thought that, you know, he started they started McGee last night and got McGee going early, got Bogut working early, and I think that was a smart decision, as well as being physical with Seth Curry, which obviously you have to do.
I mean, to me, the matchup in terms of whether Bogut's playing, I mean, the thing is all those guys on Denver can run. And so when I look at Denver, I just think, like, what kind of tempo can they play at? And if they're able to kind of open things up, get out and transition, then that's going to be a problem for Bogut.
Right.
If Golden State can keep them bottled up, kind of play a little bit of a lower tempo game, or at least control the tempo better, you know, Bogut's going to have more of an effect. He'll not fatigue as quickly.
Right.
So Chris, I mean, both McGee and what's his face are going to kill Bogut if they get into a running game.
Right now, pick a team to come out of the West and give me your 60-second capsule case for them.
San Antonio. Okay. You know, they're
hit me. Why is that?
Yeah. So with Westbrook down for Oklahoma City, I think that the most complete team in the West is San Antonio. I think that, you know, they have their own issues with injuries in terms of Boris Diaw, Thiago Splitter going down, but I still think that they've got enough that they can take the West. They have plenty of firepower to win the West. I don't think they'll, at this point in time, I don't think they have enough to beat the Heat
right
in the championship, but this team, you know, should be able to take Memphis, I think, even with Memphis's kind of resurgence in the last couple of weeks.
So does that take as a given that Memphis is going to beat OKC? Do you think Memphis is going to beat the Thunder without Russ Westbrook?
I do. I mean, I think so. I mean, that's assuming that OKC beats Houston. But yeah, I think they will.
Well, as we sit here right now, we're at the end of roughly the end of the first quarter of Wednesday night's Oklahoma City Houston game, and it's right now 24-21 Houston. So we'll see. It's certainly not a foregone conclusion, although it would be a pretty miraculous comeback. I mean, even with Westbrook out, I still think the Thunder are a better team than the Rockets are.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, the thing I'm worried about, I just think that, like, there's not a lot of – the fact that Westbrook went down in the playoffs means that OKC isn't going to have a lot of opportunity to kind of adapt their game without him.
Right.
And he's just a guy – you know, I don't know. I haven't looked at the shots this year, but in the last couple of years at least, Westbrook has shot more than Durant even. He is super critical piece on that team in terms of shot creation. I don't think they can replace him. Like, there's just no, I don't think there's a way to get around it.
Yeah, they can't. And they certainly can't replace his energy or his defense. All right. Well, I'll make the case actually for the Grizzlies. I just love the way they've played, especially the way they've responded to going down 2-0 to the Clippers. It'd be really exciting because I feel like Quincy Pondexter has been a big contributor to this team, and I would love to see him be a big contributor in some meaningful playoff minutes here going forward.
Yeah.
I love the way Marc Gasol runs the offense. You know, it's very difficult, I think, for any team in the West right now to defend against them. The Spurs, I guess, match up the best, and the Spurs have some experience after getting beaten by them a couple of years ago. But Spurs are certainly better on the interior right now with Thiago Splitter, and Tim Duncan's been playing really well. But I just think Memphis's defense is going to win out, and as long as Memphis keeps getting good contributions from his role players, from, you know, Mike Conley, and I'm not calling Mike Conley a role player, obviously, but
isn't Splitter out right now?
I don't know. He might be.
I think I saw. I think he's still out for a week and a half or 2 weeks. He's got a, I don't know what, some like twisted ankle or something.
Well,
It
so by
doesn't
the
matter
time
though.
he'd be back by the time they played Memphis.
Yeah, I think at least for the second half of that series.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. So yeah, 1 to 2 weeks with a sprained left ankle.
Yeah. I mean I'm loving Memphis too. I have to admit I'm a little bit surprised that they've kind of made the push that they had in the playoffs, given that I felt like kind of that once they traded Rudy Gay, I thought there was kind of an acknowledgement that this season was not a, their year to win big. I felt like it, if they liked their chances in the playoffs, they would have kept him.
That's how
So
I
to
felt at the time too, and maybe that even was the thinking, but I think and of course I have no numbers to back that up. Get off my back, guys. Come on. I got a life. We're just trying to get through this, people.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh no, I just saw an ad for Hangover Part 3. Ugh, I feel like I'm living in a nightmare.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was my point, Chris?
You were gonna say something about Rudy Gay,
Oh,
maybe?
I thought they were essentially conceding the season, but I think it gave Marc Gasol a chance to step up more. And the offense runs through Gasol pretty effectively at the high post. He's a great distributor. Really, no one can do anything with him up there because his shot is so automatic from up there. And he's got a pretty good handle, at least in a short amount of space. So he's pretty deadly from there and is a good distributor and is able to create, matchup problems with picks. So I like the way their offense has performed since Rudy left, and obviously the results have been great.
Yeah. The other point too is that I guess all of us or the there was a widespread perception that Rudy Gay was a star, and yet, his number of shots that he took on offense and his
Right.
inefficiency on offense are, statistics that are problematic for teams that want to win a lot. So
Well,
the fact
especially
that
a team that relies on defense needs efficient offensive players. And he wasn't surrounded by gifted scorers that could just make up for it when he had an off night like Russell and KD are.
Or another way, I mean, I look at it and be like, people could call him a star or whatever, but if like you're hitting less than 40% of your shots and you're shooting a lot of shots, that's a problem. And just removing that from the team is going to help the team. And so, I think, myself included, the perception was that when they gave up on Rudy Gay or when they traded Rudy Gay this year, I was like, well, this year's not going to be their year to advance. But I think just getting him off the offensive end of the court might have been a good deal, really, for Memphis
Right. I agree with you. I agree
this
with you.
year. And of course, not having him on the roster financially in future years is going to be a really good deal.
We apologize on the off chance any Toronto Raptors fans are listening to
Yeah.
this because it looks like you're stuck with them. I like Rudy Gay. I have nothing against him, and
Yeah.
I think he can be a good player in the NBA, but yeah, I agree with you. He can't be the centerpiece of your offense, and I do think they've gotten better for that reason.
The good
So.
news, though, for the Raptors fans are that elements of Rudy Gay's game are excellent.
Yep.
And of
And
course,
you have
I'm referring to the ghost player elements.
Yeah, Ghost, I mean, in my opinion, Ghost Gay is one of the top ghosts out there.
He's incredible. When
Yeah.
he does the right thing
Yeah.
on the video game monitor or whatever, holy shit, that team's, you can't beat it, really.
For those that don't know what that reference is, it's a reference to an article that Zach Lowe did on Grantland. If you don't read Zach Lowe, he's certainly the best basketball writer working today, in my opinion. But he had a great piece about sports view technology and the fact that the Toronto Raptors have used all their different analytics and tools to create sort of platonic ideals for each player in each game situation.
It's this
And they call them the
alternate,
Ghost Raptors.
universe where if their players just did what they're supposed to do all the
Yeah.
time, the team would win all their games.
Right. It's another argument in favor of assimilating with the board. Right? I mean,
Should try. They should try and get these ghost raptors to actually. They should have a league, actually, a ghost league.
Well,
And
what I want to
then
know is who's their ghost agent? Because I want the future Sonics to get their ghost agent on the phone. Too
Yeah.
soon? Is it too soon to mention the Sonics, Chris?
Too
Should we talk
soon,
about
too
that
soon.
before we move on to the phone? Yeah, I mean,
We could talk
how are
about
you
it a little bit.
feeling? I think you and I are the most zen about this. I actually feel totally fine
Yeah, I
with
think
Sonics getting
the
rejected. How about you?
yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I mean, this isn't this is, we need Manziel and Rob on the line to do this
Yeah.
justice because I think you and I are of like minds on this. I think you made this point and I agree with it totally, but basically it's for me a lot more fun to watch basketball when I don't have a strong rooting interest in what's happening. You know, I think that there's a lot of bad reffing in basketball in general,
Sure.
and a lot of because of that, a lot of heartbreak. You know, if you're looking for justice and fairness in a sport, I don't think you're gonna get it, you know, watching basketball. And so, for me at least, it's become a lot more enjoyable to watch these awesome athletes play each other, you know, and not worry about the fairness of their justice. You know, my
Right. You
team
know who's
losing
obsessed with
game.
justice and fairness?
I don't know who.
Stannis Baratheon, and no one likes that guy.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I may be kind of a Stannis Baratheon type person myself, which
No,
is
just
not.
because you're, Stormborn, or whatever, doesn't make you a Stannis. What makes you what about you makes you think you're a Stannis? I'm
I
sorry.
get a, I
By the
get a
way,
upset about.
now we've got it all. We've got weather talk, we've got lacrosse talk, and now finally we've got Game of Thrones talk. What makes you think you're a Stannis now?
I get worried about fairness and justice. You know, I'm just like, is this fair? Is this just? You know, and I don't want to get worried. I mean, I don't want to think about it, but I do. You know, and that's it's kind of a you know, basically, it's better for me to not have a rooting interest in an NBA team because if you
Right.
do, you're gonna get screwed. You know, at
I
some point in
certainly agree
time,
with that. I would
especially if you're from Seattle.
I would downplay the importance of the refs in the league nowadays. I don't think that the refs play as much of a role as they used to.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's true.
There are kind of, either most calls are pretty expected. They review calls, which isn't always entertaining, but at least most of the time they get them right. People want to go through and you can always find things that weren't called that should have been and were called that maybe shouldn't have been. By and large, I think it's fine. I mean,
San
to me,
Antonio last year.
are you talking about against the Thunder?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly arguable. But to me, it not having a team just makes it more fun because I don't get bitter about other teams winning. Whoever wins, I
Yeah.
got a little down when the Clippers took a 2-0 lead on Memphis. But other
Yeah.
than that, I don't really get bothered by this stuff.
Yeah.
And that triple overtime game between the Nets and the Bulls made me feel sorry for my father-in-law, who's a Bulls fan. Basically, he wasn't watching. He had the game on, but was getting reports from me about it. It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Poor guy, I know.
But I love following the league. I'll say this about the Jason Collins news coming out this week that he came out as the first, certainly the first NBA player to come out. There have been other professional athletes that have revealed that they were gay, but he's the first one in, I guess, what you'd call one of the big three men's sports to admit it. So,
He's
congrats
also
to
the
him.
first active player, right? I mean,
I think
it's it.
there's a soccer player. There's a guy in MLS,
Oh,
but
okay.
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think there are a few in the WNBA. I could be wrong about
A
that.
few.
Yeah. I could be wrong. Maybe Brittany Griner's the first openly gay.
No, dude, like a third of the league.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't follow like the sexuality of those players because I don't have a shot with any of them anymore.
I don't either. I mean, whatever. We don't have to talk about this, but there's a quite a lot of them,
Okay, well, if you
which
say so,
is,
I certainly believe you.
yeah.
Well, anyway, but my original point was just that the supportiveness of the league made me proud to call the NBA my favorite league. In general, everyone was extremely not just supportive, but sort of vocally supportive, and making it clear that no, there would be sort of no brooking of any kind of debate on this issue. You know, like, this is good, and we're proud of him, and that's the way we are as a league.
Has anyone talked to Michael Jordan yet?
I have no idea. I do know that Tim Hardaway called up and congratulated him, which is nice because Tim Hardaway famously made some pretty nasty remarks about homosexuals a few years ago, and apparently has come around on that. So that's, you know, you love to hear stuff like that, and it's one of the reasons why I love the NBA. God bless you, NBA. All right, Chris, you got any bold predictions for the next round of the playoffs? Any shockers you want to call for us right now?
Let me see here. You know, I think Denver still can win this.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Denver takes the series. I don't know if that's necessarily a bold prediction, but so I could say Denver could still take this, and the other bold prediction is that Houston can maybe win this too.
Okay.
The next bold prediction is that it's not really a prediction because it's already happening, but this Daft Punk song, I don't know if you've had a chance to hear it, but Get Lucky.
Chris, I'm glad you, jam. I'm glad you asked me about that. I've been intentionally avoiding listening to it because very rarely do I get so excited about an album coming out. The last time was actually Kanye West's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and I did the same thing with that record, where I intentionally did not go and get the Good Friday singles. I didn't want to hear any of the verses or any of the beats from that album before it came out. I think anyway, go ahead. I feel about this one.
What day is today? Today's Wednesday. So Monday night, I kind of had insomnia and stayed up till 4 in the morning. And I just like was just listening to the song over and over again. And I ended up at some point emailing Cheryl, my girlfriend, that this is the album that I'm most excited about being released since Check Your Head, which I think came out in 91 or 92.
91, I think.
She was 6 years old when that album came out.
I'm sure she would enjoy us talking about her age on the podcast.
I was just like, that's a long fucking time between albums that I've been this excited about. So the thing I'm worried about is if you don't listen to this song soon, man, what if something bad happens? What if you get hit by a truck in a week?
I've had a good life.
You would have missed this song.
But you always miss something, you know? You can't worry about stuff like that.
I think that your life's pretty good, but it would be a little less good, you know, having missed this song. You know, if something, God forbid, happens to you, you know.
Well, I hope that you say that at my funeral. God forbid if something bad happens to me, I hope you get up and say, my number one beef with Scott Dine is that he never listened to this Daft Punk single, even though I asked him to.
You got to listen to it. It's great.
I will.
I played, you know what I did today, which is crazy, is I played it at work. Like, I wear my headphones at work, and I just don't talk to anybody, and I just, like, play it on my computer over and over again like a psychopath.
You do have a tendency to listen to things a little bit into the ground.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now. My coworkers probably think I'm crazy, but whatever.
I doubt they've paid that much attention to what you're listening to.
Yeah, probably.
All right, man. Well, we apologize to the city of Seattle that you missed out on our team, but we hope that doesn't keep you from watching the playoffs. And until next time, save us a seat at the next Sonics game. Good night, everybody. Everybody's sugar. I booked studio time. I heard your beats. You was ringing my phone. I was half asleep. Your hype man called. His rhymes was weak. What you trying to do?